You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Hello. No announcements today, just me. Good to see everybody here. Great week. Kansas City Chiefs. You don't know, I'm a pretty big Chiefs fan. And I prayed for him that day. And I prayed right about the 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter mark. Right then I started praying. Right? Do you believe me? Yeah, I was praying. You can believe that for sure, right? I think I was praying the whole game. But anyway, what a fun time. It's good to be back with you guys. I have some really, really, really great news I want to share with you today. Through in-depth discovery of ancient manuscripts, I've discovered an ironclad investment strategy that is simple, and I guarantee a 100% return. It's never failed. Throughout the ages, it's been proven again and again and again and again. And here's another thing. It's secure. There's zero risk in what I'm about to tell you. It's sort of like inside trading, but it's legal. I have for information about this investment. Now ask yourself today, what would you pay for that type of information that I'm about to give you? Would it be $100? Would you pay $100? Perhaps $1,000? Nay, but it's free. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. Are you ready? When I was a young man in a little tadpole in ministry, my first ministry job, I was a youth pastor at a large church in central Phoenix called the Valley Cathedral. And when they, some of you know the Valley Cathedral, yeah, when they hired me, a part of my financial package, which wasn't a lot as a youth pastor, and Mitch said, amen, started my financial package. They had a 401k, a little retirement, and so I didn't really know anything about that, but wise leadership came to me, men and women, and said, listen, if they offer a matching, like if you give 3% to retirement, we'll give 3%, you take it. You never leave money on the table. And so I'd be able to preach that to my daughters and say, hey, if they're going to give you something, it's worth putting 3% because they're giving you free money. And so they did that. And I sat down with a strategic person for financial investing. And they asked me certain questions. They're like, what kind of life do you want to live when you retire? And I thought that through. And it was modest, but nice. And so we talked about that. And he goes, well, this is what you're going to need. This amount of money you're going to need. And I looked at the number. He said, but if you put away this much every month, and then when you get older, you make more, and you put this way, another way, that, and with the returns that you'll get, you should be at that place. And I thought, that's exciting. And next Monday, not tomorrow, but the Monday after that, I will be 57 years old. And thank you. And you can bring gifts next week. You don't have to worry. If you didn't bring one today, it's okay. We got another week, all right? And in fact, I'll take gifts even the next Sunday. So either Sundays before or after my, I'll do that. So I'm 57. And guess what? The numbers I had projected aren't even close to when I sat down as a little tadpole and went, that's what I want life to look like. And the part of the problem is life happens. Just life happens. And in 1993, I sort of stepped away from vocational ministry, and I was making minimum wage, which was like $4.25 at a computer store. I didn't know anything about computers, but I learned it. And I had no insurance, no health insurance. And I got in an accident where I was pitching for a softball team, and the guy hit the softball right back up the middle, and I didn't quite get my glove up in time, and it hit me right in this, right here. In fact, there were lace marks in my skin. You could see where the imprint, where the softball hit me in the face. And so I went home, and I was just bleeding. They called the game. I can play! No, they called the game. So, and so I went home, and we didn't have insurance, and I told my wife, my face is just like drooping. I go, I'm not going to the hospital. We don't have insurance. And finally at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I kept throwing up, probably because I had a concussion, my wife made me go. And it cost us thousands of dollars with no health insurance. Well, I went to my 401k and tapped into it, right? We wanted to buy a house. We didn't buy a house. At 37, finally got a house. We tapped in. So we cashed out on those. And so my retirement doesn't look like I wanted it to from 35 years ago. And life happens. And some of them are legitimate reasons. And some of them were selfish reasons. The problem that we have when it comes to investments and retirement is that we tend to live for today. And it's really hard to connect the dots between the investments that I make today and the future dividends that I might have. We become very myopic. And the problems of today, and we want the newest, coolest gadgets and shiny toys and flashy clothes or whatever that is. And it tends to blind the future. And it's not just in the positive way, it actually blinds the future on both sides, that we can't connect the dots between today's actions and future ramifications. And so marketers 20, 30 years ago began to understand that, and they began to change the way that they did marketing about, and they made everything present tense. If you do this, this will happen to you right now. In 2 years in the Super Bowl, there was this wonderful ad. It's a tearjerker, and I want to show it to you because this is that concept. This is from Hyundai. Let's all go buy Hyundais. I want to save somebody's life from cancer, right? And it wasn't like they were showing from the future. The people were right there, and you could see, oh, when I bought a Hyundai, I saved your life. That's how amazing I am. And so marketers began to learn that you had to show these present tense rewards because people don't connect the dots very well. On the sort of other side of that, let me just say, because this is one of my favorite stories anyway, we talk about smoking. This is a physical thing. I know some churches put it heavy. I was with a young lady in South Africa once. We're on this long bus ride, and I was talking about the love of God for her life and how much Jesus loves her. Probably heard the story. And finally, she breaks down crying, and she says, my church tells me that if I smoke, I won't get to go to heaven. Can I smoke and still get to heaven? And I said, you can. In fact, you'll probably get there faster. So that was my comment to her. So, which is part of the problem because we don't connect the dots. So the cigarette campaigns used to be, you'll die of cancer one day. And you know, these are the effects of smoking. And they realized with teenagers it wasn't working. And so in Tucson, Arizona in 1996, they did a survey to find out what kids thought about smoking. And they used these words. They're smelly and pukey. And then they began to start new campaigns. Remember the campaign was smoking, tumor-causing, teeth-staining, smelling, puking habit. That was developed in Tucson. Because they want to know, if you smoke, you're not going to get a date to the prom. That's what they're trying. Your teeth will be ugly. See, that's where they were trying to make the connection that these actions today lead to this. Because, why? We just don't make that connection very well, that if we make this investment, these are the future outcomes. Our present reality takes precedent over future dividends. And so we go into further debt for that thing we have to have, you know. In the next 2 weeks, I hope to have us understand a little more of how our actions and our investments of today always impact your future. So we say this, the investments you make today will always determine the withdrawals that you can make in the future. So the investments you make in your family, in your spouse, in your marriage, the dates that you go on and the love that you share, you're making deposits and deposits and deposits. So when there is maybe a difficult time, you have a reservoir there. It's not already on empty. The same thing with your children. The same thing with your finances. Same thing with your spiritual life, making deposits. And you can't make an investment if you don't make a deposit. You can't make a withdrawal on something you've never invested in. And so this principle is a godly principle, and it's found in Galatians chapter 6. And somewhere I threw my glasses, but we'll just do this without glasses, okay? I know the scripture pretty well. Actually, I'm going to read it from the screen. I don't know where to put my glasses. That's why we have the screen. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, it says, do not be deceived. That is the most important part of this whole scripture because it's packed full of all kinds of stuff. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is a life principle. I think it's actually a universal principle, a spiritual principle, and it's called the principle of sowing and reaping. And we can see it all through creation. We can see it through our lives. You guys know what it's all about. The other religions call it different things. Some other religions call it like karma. But it's this concept is that you sow and you reap. And we can see it. The principles, here's a couple lessons we learned from this. The principle applies to everyone, both Christians and non-Christians. It's irrevocable. There's no escape, either for anyone. It's a law of life. And that's why it says in the beginning, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It's the root cause of a careless and indulgent lifestyle of many people. So they're deceived. Either they don't believe the truth, or they think somehow they have an exception to God's principles and God's laws. Gravity on earth is a natural law. It's a universal law. It was established by God. It's interesting to me that the final temptation that Jesus went through when Satan came to him, Luke chapter 4, he wanted to test the goodness of God's love towards Jesus. And so he says, if God loves you this much, throw yourself from a high place and he'll rescue you. In other words, gravity, this law of gravity is no longer applicable to you. It's not important to you that God set up this rule. And the sun's gravity keeps the earth in place. It keeps us from not being too cold and not being too hot. So this gravity works for us. It's a natural law. And Jesus said this, that if I jump from here, I will be putting God to the test. I'll be putting him to the test. I'll be saying to him, I know the rules, but you need to save me because who I am or who you are and all these things. And so, oops, sorry. Thanks, Mitch. I'm already friends. Tony, sorry. See, I can't see. Mitch should have been there. Thank you for your patience. I actually woke up a little disoriented today for vertigo. That's why I'm sitting down. Anyway, where was I? Oh, God, Jesus putting you to the test. And it's the sense that I'm immune because of God's love for me or because of his favor. I'm sort of immune to the natural and supernatural laws that he's put into place. So the scripture is teaching this is a life law. And we're not to test God, because when you test God like this, you're mocking God. You're saying, I know what you said, but it doesn't apply to me. Right? I know this is true, but hey. The second thing we learn from this is that we will reap what we sow. That's either good news or really bad news, depending on what you're sowing, right? If you're sowing for crabgrass, don't expect pineapples to show up. We cannot sow disobedience and expect to reap blessing. What we sow, we reap. So don't deceive yourselves about that. The third thing is that we reap more than we sow. And that's why farmers plant seed, and they plant one seed, and the corn comes up, and we get all kinds of corn cobs and all kinds of seeds on there. You yield more when you plant. And it's the same way. And I've seen this in both in righteousness and in unrighteousness. I've seen this marriage that they've been working on and all these things. And all of a sudden, one night, one mistake, one blow it, and everything crashes hard. And there's the rebuilding process because of one. And it's the same thing. Whatever you do in a good way magnifies. Whatever we do in a negative way can be magnified. And that's what it's saying. And then the last thing is we reap later than we sow. And some are deceived because they think their present seed does not produce an immediate crop. And so they get deceived by it, that God somehow has let them down. And so they mistakenly believe that there'll never be a harvest. And that can be, again, positive or negative. Hey, I did this thing wrong. Nothing bad happened to me. I'll do it again tomorrow. But they're being deceived. And the same thing with pouring into our families and our spouses and our life. We may not see the result tomorrow, but we're being deceived and we think we won't harvest. And so it says, don't be deceived by this, because if you get deceived by this, right, you'll give up. Right? Don't be deceived. Don't become weary in this process of sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, because we know this. If we don't give up at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest. It's a supernatural, spiritual law that you can see all across the universe and applies to us as well. God always blesses those who sow to the Spirit, and those who sow to the flesh always at one time will see destruction. And God always gives a 100% return on the investment. And you need to have faith that that's true, or you're going to get tired and you're going to get weary. Investing in the future is one of the easiest things, but it's one of the hardest things to believe. I'm going to show you another scripture that goes along with this whole thing, sort of a foolproof plan on this. It's Matthew 25. This sort of tells the story in a different way, and this is a parable of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Listen to this. Each according to his ability, then he went on his journey. And I really want to make a point about that, because we can look at people who seem more talented than us, or they have different gifts than us, and like, wow, they're a 5 bag of gold person, and I'm only a 2 bag of gold. This means nothing here, right? It's just in this arena of the church, of course, I'm more vocal and I'm up front more, but you're just as important no matter what it seems like. You have an arena where you can speak greater things than I can speak. The talents that we have are given to us by God according to our ability. And that doesn't mean one person is better than this. But each one has that. And so the man comes up and says, here, listen, I'm going on a long journey. And this is the parallel that Jesus is teaching about the fact that he's going to leave one day, the disciples, and he's going to give us each gift according to our abilities. And he will return one day. And so this is that story. And it goes on. It says, the man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. So we got I can sort of see this conversation. He comes, says, I'm going away, and you're Mr. 5 bags of gold, and you're Mr. 2 bags of gold, and you're Mr. 1 bag of gold. We'll just call him that. And here you go. I'm going away. Now you do some of my money. And here's the interesting thing we're going to find out is they knew what kind of man he was. They knew what was expected when the gold was given to them. And so the first guy, right, he goes out and gets 5 more. And the next guy gets out 2 more. And going on, it says this. He settled his accounts with them. Let's go to the next slide if you can, please. Thank you. The man received 5 bags of gold, brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. He was responsible for that amount he was given. He was responsible and faithful to that what he was given. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. And I love that phrase. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And what I love about this is that he says, you were good, but you were faithful. You had 5 bags. You invested that well. You got back 5 bags. You had 2 bags. You invested that well. You got 2 bags. They both got a 100% return, and they were faithful to what they'd been giving. And it wasn't comparison to like, well, he got 5 and you got 2. It was a percentage. You went out and invested. You got a good return on your investment of the talents that I gave you. And that's what we're looking at, is what has God given you, and are you getting a good investment from that? But there is Mr. 1 bag, okay? Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And so I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Here it is. You knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. In other words, I've been away, and it's in the parallel of Jesus leaving this earth, giving the gift. I gave you seed. I put seed into your life. I expected you to go put that seed out. You know who I am. You know how I operate. You know what I expect. You knew that. Well then, if you knew that, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so then when I return, I would have received it back with interest. And the story goes on, it says that he took the one bag of gold from him and gave it to the other man. And I think there's a fear sometimes, well, I don't have as much, then I'm going to take care of that. But it's interesting, again, it goes back to this concept. There's a story where Jesus goes into the temple and people are giving their offering, and this woman comes up and she just gives in comparison a couple pennies. And this is Mark chapter 12. It says, he sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow also came and put in two small coins of a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen. I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. And so she just gave a little, but she was faithful to what she'd been given. And it was a lot in the eyes of the kingdom. In the eyes of Jesus, it was a lot. So here is interesting thing. Is they were all commended for being faithful, the first two, for what they were given. And then once they got that and they were faithful, they were given more to invest afterwards. So Mr. Five Bags went out, got five bags more. Mr. Two Bags went out, got Mr. Two Bags. And then one bag was given to Five Bags. So now Five Bags is 11 bags, Mr. 11 Bags. And Two Bags is Mr. Four Bags. And guess what? They're going to invest that, and soon 11 will be 22, and 4 will be 8. And faithfulness is always rewarded, and it always comes back with 100% return. I believe that. I've, in my 56 years, 11 months, and 20 days, or something like that, I've learned something which has been really awesome, and it's what comes with as you are getting more seasons, that the influence that I had younger is now multiplied. It's like you add wisdom and you add a time with people, and the voice and the influence you have just is easily multiplied over and over again. And it's just, I can walk into a situation and in 3 or 4 minutes have influence that should take me 30 or 40 minutes. And it's just the power of being faithful over and over again. And it's just one of the wonderful things of being seasoned in God, that we have the opportunity to multiply over and over and over. And that's what's happening, is the 11 turns into 22, which turns into 24. It's a pretty exciting thing. But one bag says this, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you expected accountability. I knew you harvested when you didn't even sow in a place. And you get 100% every time. I know about this principle of Galatians chapter 6 before it was even written. And even though I know that, I was afraid. And knowledge isn't the issue, faith is the issue. Everyone knows, if you were to talk to anybody, you think God blesses those who bless other people. Well, yeah, we think so. Reciprocity, and I mean, we think that you give and it gives. And the problem is, we're afraid. The problem is risk. But what if risk was removed? Here's the sad thing. He knew that his master always got returns on his investment, always, and there was no risk. It wasn't even his money. It had been given to him as a gift. I can imagine, here's your gold. I'm going away for a while. You know what I expect when I return. And here's your gift. And he just hid it. Everything we have in our life is a gift from God. I believe it with all my heart. Our finances, our life, our house, our car, our job. We live in fear of the what ifs. What if the market crashes? What if I lose my job? What if something bad happens to me? What if I have to settle a little bit less on my dream house and not get what I thought I was going to get? What if I don't get the leather, interior in my new car? These are the what ifs of Americans, right? What if I don't? What if I have to get the TV listing with the less channels than the other one, right? The Sling Blue or the Sling Orange? I can't decide. And fear and what ifs kills future. And fear, you won't get a return on your investment. So it's easy to believe. It's just, it's easy to do. It's just hard to believe so many times. But here, the investments you make today will determine the withdrawals you can make in the future. And the investments you make today will always determine the impact you will have in the future. And it's just faith. And I think the problem is we have an inability in our society, in our lives, to connect the dots between our actions today and the impact for the future. And I know that I know stories about our church, and I know stories about our ministry that many of you don't know. And I know the stories. I know the impact. I get to see it real time. I get to see the guy who came to our church and was suicidal, and he's not anymore. He's living life large and doing what God had. I know marriages that are getting saved. I know children that coming out of drugs, and I know those stories. You know, sometimes when it do a good job of connecting the dots for you, that when you give and when you serve, what happens here. And I did some math, and so 25% of everything you give, and so goes to this property and these buildings. And it seems like, well, that's a lot. But I know, I'm telling you right now, people come every week who are downcast, who need to hear a word from God, who need to feel the presence of God, and lives change just in the worship service. I'm so excited. We're getting closer to the building being done back there, right? But we're making an investment to the children of this community for decades. I mean, it will last forever. If you knew the numbers, the percentages of children now that are raised with any type of faith background of or learning about Jesus, they're so small. And we get an opportunity for people in this community to have drop off their children and be taught the lessons of God, the love of Jesus in this place. And then when we have Vacation Bible School, they'll go, gee whiz, we should go there for VH Bible. And then the family, it just goes on and on and on. We get that. That's a part of your investment here. Another thing I was excited about is 20% of everything you give goes to our children and our youth. We think it's a really important thing. And the Pastor Mitch and his beautiful bride, Brooklyn, are doing an amazing job with our youth. And it was the 1st of March last year that you guys came on. And in 11 months, we've seen just an amazing, just wonderful stories. And you get to do that. You get to be a part of that. And then I wanted to say one other thing. We really feel like the future of our church, the next important step for us, was to really dedicate ourselves to children's ministry. And we had the opportunity to do that. So I am going to introduce a young lady where she's at. There's Brittany. Brittany's going to come on down. Brittany started... It's Brittany with an I.
Yes.
Because my daughter's Brittany with a Y. So we always have to make sure we clarify. Because my wife's like, which Brittany are you talking about? I don't know. Brittany with an I. Brittany Malik. Started this week as our full-time children's pastor and family life coordinator, and we're excited to have you here. And you'll be focusing on all the stuff that has to do with family life and children from birth up to fifth grade and all the big events. Mm-hmm. Are you excited?
I'm super excited.
Why don't you grab that mic right there and tell the people right now, okay? She told me she doesn't like to do this part right now. You were saying you're super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of my really good friends, Brittany, worked at came to faith in his church, worked as a children's director in his church, and unfortunately, because of finances, they had to discontinue the position. And so he came to her and said, I know your calling. I know you're called to children. And we can't really pay you here. You need to go look and find the place that God has for you, right? Well, Jeremiah knows her, and it just so happened, it was just crazy that I know this guy, he knows me, we've played racquetball together, we've prayer time together, so I'd already gotten a dream from God that we were going to find somebody who's going to be seamless. And I'm just telling you right now, so far, everything, it's just when I interviewed her, it was like she was raised in our church. Just like when I met Mitch and Brooklyn, it was like, wow, you've been raised in our ministry, and so I'm excited. What do you think about me? No, you don't have to answer that question. Yeah. See? It's seamless. She already knows, right? Oh, I got this one. This guy needs prayer. Yeah, so you feel called to children, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. Growing up, I've always loved kids. I was the mom of all my friends. When I first held a baby, when I was like 5 or 6 with my baby cousin, and I just knew that I love babies and kids, and as I grew older, I just fell in love with every age group. I started, babysitting at 10, and just have always worked with kids since.
That's all right.
My calling. So when I started going to church at 16, trying to figure out what it meant to follow Christ, and accepted Him into my life at 18, and just been on fire for God since. And through 18 all the way now, He just continues to confirm my calling and to put a huge passion in my heart for kids and families and parents, and I'm just really excited to see what He does.
We're excited to have you, so thanks for joining our team and being a part of it. Would you welcome Brittany? Hey, I'm going to have you stay up here. I see Paul. There's Mitch. Do we have any other elders that are here? I'm scanning the crowd. Paul, would you come? Let's pray for and anoint. I think we have oil in here. And anoint Brittany, right, Brittany? So whenever we use anointing oil like this, it's just a representation, the Bible says, sort of a reputation of just Holy Spirit anointing somebody for a certain task. And so that's why we do that. And so I'm going to do that. And who wants to pray for this young lady? Mitch, with you. So I'll just anoint her. And let's just anoint her for this children's ministry. How about that, all right?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we lift up the kids' dreams. God, we thank you for Brittany and her passion for kids and families. God, I just pray that you would use her. You would use the calling that you put inside of her. And that families and kids would be changed all across our community, God, because of this ministry. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks, Brittany. Welcome to the family. Brittany will be outside by the information desk if you want to go by and say hi to her after service. Would you stand with me today? Thank you for the investments that you make. I think they're going to pay off in great dividends. I want to see more people come into health by following after Jesus. More families come into health, more marriages come into health. Children stay away from just some of the stuff that might be destructive. And this is the place for this community. I believe it with all my heart. It is. So, Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for the leaders of this church. We believe that you have drawn these people here to make investments into this kingdom so that we can see your kingdom come and your will be done in this surrounding area. We thank you for Luke Air Force Base and the servicemen that work there. We just pray that we would be a light to them and a blessing to them, to these new houses and these new homes, Father. Let us bring life to them, Father. Let us be a place of a beacon of light for them. So I want to thank you for this place, for this time, and for these people that make an investment in your kingdom. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.